I'd have my text this morning. I would like to share it would be found in Micah, the 6th chapter. Would you hand me my phone down there? Because I've got some things on that. He hath showed thee. You know the rest of that verse, don't you? But I like that part that he has showed us. We have a responsibility this morning before the Lord. But it's not an oppressive responsibility. It's a kind appeal that the Lord wants to take His children. May God help us all to be His children. But He wants to take His children and He wants to guide us and show us the ways of protection, the ways of truth, that these might be applied in our life. So the thought I want to think about today is that He has showed us. Sometimes we might have the idea in our mind that I want, and folks, if you want to come and ask me what's right and what's wrong, I may try to help you see what the Scripture says. But I don't want you to hear what I say. We have some responsibility to help each other, but we want to hear what God says to us. And we have the privilege of doing this. He has showed thee, O man. He showed us what is good. So it's over here in Micah, the 6th chapter. And I actually would like to probably read some other verses quickly before we go over here in Micah. There's another one over here in Romans that talks about, sometimes we think that He has showed us, and we think that perhaps He showed us because we have access to the truth. And I'm grateful that we can say we have the truth. I'm very thankful for that. But Jesus said He's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into this world. Everybody has a sense of knowledge of right and wrong. There's some responsibility that all of us have to what is good and what is right. And Jesus came to light everyone. I believe that in the darkest parts of this world, Jesus hasn't left them alone. You all know the book about Samuel Morris. You all read that? I believe that's evidence that God Himself met a young man that wasn't exposed to everything that we're exposed to today, but He communicated with him and He got some truth to that young man. Jesus is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And I believe that that is still the case today. Over here in Romans, the 12th chapter, and I'm going to read the 13th, 14th, and 15th verse. Romans 2, 13. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or excusing one another. So they're weighing things in their mind. This is a picture that Paul is writing here. And he's talking here in Romans to the Jewish nation and how they had the law, they had that part of the truth. But then he says, but what are you going to do with the Gentiles? Those who by nature, those who sought the Lord. I don't know, what do you consider Enoch? Was he a Gentile? He sure predated the Jewish nation, didn't he? But Enoch walked with God. There was something about his hunger and his desire for the Lord that opened the door. And there was a door of utterance, there was a door of understanding, there was a door of wisdom that came down to him. As he sought the Lord, he walked with God. He got a hold of something, didn't he? And Paul was saying, what are we going to do about the Gentiles who by nature and their hunger for the Lord, they found something. They walked with God. Noah found grace, did he not? There was something he got a hold of that predated the law system, that predated today's day of grace. But by nature, their hunger, there's something that God has placed in every man's heart. There's a hunger, there's an empty, there's a void. There's a place that we want to be filled. And not all people follow that in the right way. That's true. In fact, most people go after the gainsaying. They go after all the evil. And the devil is their master. That's all true. But there are people that they get tired of that and they turn and say, Lord, have mercy. And sometimes they don't even know what to say, but they realize they want to seek after what is right. And the Lord blesses that. So what are you going to do about the Gentiles? These are people who decided without perhaps even the fullness of understanding, but they want to follow what is right. And that happened back in Paul's days. And so he wrote about this to the Jews. In James then, the fourth verse in the fourth chapter in the 17th verse. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good. I want to set this scripture now up beside the one that says, he hath showed thee, O man. He hath showed thee. James says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, the things that God has showed us to do, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, there's a moral responsibility that is laid on those people's feet before them. They have a responsibility to do the good. He said, it's sin when we don't. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him, it is sin. Then I'd like to point out over in Psalms, the 51st chapter. Y'all remember that chapter? You know who wrote that and the reasons why he wrote that? David wrote it. The reasons why he wrote it is because of his great sin with Bathsheba. And Nathan confronted him and said, thou art the man. And David acknowledged that he was. And he humbled his heart before the Lord, began to seek. He knew he had done wrong. The thing had been something he tried to cover it up. You don't try to cover up something that's wrong, that's right. He tried to cover up something because there was a great guilt. Everybody knew it was wrong for him to do what he did. And he tried to cover it up. And then in the 51st Psalm, he wrote his repentance before the Lord. 15th verse said, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. What is the Lord wanting here? Is he interested in us constantly having to re-sacrifice? That's not the will. That's not really what he wants. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. This lets us know the desire that the Lord wants is a humbled heart, a honest seeking heart. And when we have done wrong, it is absolutely right for us to humble our heart with a certain weeping, a tiredness of the old life, a broken spirit and a contrite heart. This is what the Lord wants to receive. Oh, dear ones, I don't like people coming to the altar when they need salvation anyway, or needing to make something. I don't like to see them coming with a cavalier attitude. When we come to the Lord, we should have a brokenness in our heart. Not only a brokenness, but a desire to turn from that old way. This is what God receives. This is the sacrifices to the Lord. He doesn't want to have a perpetual saying, well, Lord, forgive us of our many sins. We don't need to do that. The Lord has a way of forgiveness and victory that he has for us past that point. God wants us to do that. So now let's go back over here to Micah, the 6th chapter. He has showed thee, O man. Again, I would remind us, and I believe that we've seen in the past, there are groups of people and systems of religious worship that gives you the code book, gives you the creed. And it's not altogether wrong. Those creeds aren't altogether wrong. But here's the problem that I find. And folks, I don't want to set up a creed here. This Bible is sufficient. Not only is this Bible sufficient, but God wants to use His Holy Spirit to help enliven and our understanding, to reveal to us what this means to us. He has showed us, old man. We're not excused now. Here's one of the problems with the code. You can write legal codes in this nation and people will spend their time trying to figure out how close they can tiptoe up to the line and get by with things. If we do that spiritually, if we say, here's our code, and this is what we do, this is the saint's standard. And folks, saints do have a standard. It's a holiness standard. But it is interpreted to our lives through the Holy Spirit and applied at a closer level than any code could ever apply it. It brings life. It brings understanding. He has showed us, oh man, what is good and what the Lord requires of us. And I want to tell you, it'll always diminish old carnality. Our old carnal man. And anytime the Lord deals with us, He will put that old carnal man in its place. It will teach us how to crucify the flesh and how to elevate Christ. Anytime that man is lifted up in any position, in any way in our lives, folks, there's a reason why we don't have a pope around here. There's a reason why we don't elevate man. We respect what God has done, but we don't elevate man. We look past man to Christ. And if any time we start elevating a man and putting a man between us and Christ, folks, we're diminishing what God wants to do in our hearts. I want to tell you, God wants to show us personally in our lives. You can bring questions, and I've heard questions before. I've had questions of my own. Lord, where do we stand in this place? How do we deal with these issues in my life? Where's holiness in this? Lord, how do I deal with the internet of today or all the technologies that we have? We have those to deal with. And I want to tell you, the principles of holiness applies in every one of these areas. It's right for us to say, Lord, how do I handle this? And we must. Many of the younger generation, we have technologies. This isn't a bad technology, but it can be used bad. Lord, help us. Help us not to look for, well, do the saints teach against the internet? I say, no, I can't say we teach against it. But there's principles of holiness that are against some of the things on that internet. He showed you, old man. You don't need to have the pastor tell you about this. God wants to tell us about these things. God wants to meet us in our closet of prayer. God wants to be a real Heavenly Father to us. One that teaches us of His loving guidance and His strong hand of guidance. Not a domineering hand, but one of love that guides us around pitfalls and dangers of life. See, He cares for His children. He's not an absentee father. He cares about our decisions. And He wants to help us to understand the difference between right and wrong. It's not written in the Scripture. We cannot find in this Scripture where He says, thou shalt not go out and take ecstasy. Thou shalt not go out. We're talking about street drugs today. Right? This fentanyl. It doesn't say that, does it? You can't smoke. Where does it say you can't smoke marijuana? If we want to make a legal point of everything, we're going to miss a lot. But I want to tell you, the principles of holiness stands against these things that damage people, that tear homes apart, that causes people to be dishonest and steal. These things are evil because they cause evil. And it's right for us to say these things are evil. He showed us. We don't have to have it written down in a legal code. Because if we ever write it down in a legal code, we'll find ways around it. But you can't find ways around the Spirit of God when He comes down and convicts our souls of righteousness and judgment to come. We can't get around that. We can't, because it's real. We know, and not only do we can we not get around it, we don't want to get around it. Because my heart is in tune and in love with my Father. The one who has breathed life into my very soul has changed me from the old man that I used to be. God help us today not to just reduce this to a legal code, but something real and alive in all of our hearts. Oh, if you come with your questions, I'll do my best to help you with it. But I don't want to be the answer for you. I want Christ and your relationship with Him to be the answer for your soul. I don't have grace to give you. But once the Lord opens up His truth, He showed us, oh man, what is good and what does the Lord require of us. Let's go through some of this chapter now. Hear ye now what the Lord hath. What the Lord saith. First verse here. Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy. Now, I don't know exactly how to take that first verse. When I first read it, I thought perhaps that the Lord is saying, okay, you strong man, you one that you feel like you've got everything in control, you can manipulate things. Go ahead and talk to the mountain. Tell it to move. You stand up, hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend then before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. You go ahead and try to cause things happening, and I don't think that's exactly what this, but that's what came to my mind. Sometimes us little men, little humans, we feel like that we can exert so much authority. I want to tell you what, there's none of us without God can change anything. We're pretty small. Remember when Job, he came to the place in his through his affliction and down toward the end, you know, Job said, if I could just get my case before the Lord, I've looked around for, and if he would show up here, I would stand up and I'd tell him where he's been wrong. He said, I'd make my case before the Lord. I would tell him that something's not right here. I'm condensing this into our human ideas. That's what Job said. If the Lord was here, I would make my case. And then the Lord did show up. And you remember what Job said? The Lord told Job, go ahead and stand up like a man now. Make your case. And Job said, now I'm standing. He knew he was standing before the august majesty on high. And he had no argument at that point. He said, I've spoken once. I'm not going to do it again. I lay my hand on my mouth. I want to listen to you because you're God and you're right. God, help us to take that attitude when we come before the Lord. We're not here to defend myself. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I need to know it before the Lord. I want to know it, don't we? I don't want to stand at the end of the judgment and there's something that I've okayed in my life that's not okay before Him. I need to know the Lord's will. And the only reason why I won't know the Lord's will is if I have lifted myself up against Him and I have said, I believe I'm better. My understanding is I've got a deal made. Or somehow His word doesn't mean as much to me as what my desires. Lord, help us not to lift up ourselves against You in any way. Here now. Second verse, hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with His people, and He will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. What have I done wrong? Look back over the course of your existence as a people or in our own lives. Has the Lord ever treated us wrongly? I don't believe He has. He pointed out to these people to look back and remember, for I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, Look back to that. Remember, you were slaves down there. You were in servitude. I brought you up out of the land of Egypt. I redeemed thee out of the house of servants. I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. I want to notice, I want to stop here just for a little bit, because I find it interesting that God himself included Miriam, Moses and Aaron and Miriam. Miriam. The Lord included Miriam. And I want to tell you, in a proper, see, the Lord has showed us what is right. In a proper society, the way God has set it up, women are very much appreciated. They're never intended to be dominated by men, because men are bigger and stronger. And they are bigger and stronger. And there is a place that God has put on men. There's a certain place of leadership that God generally puts on men. And God doesn't mean for men to abdicate that. But I want to tell you, women are intended. God used this woman. God called her to this place. God called Deborah to a place. There's different ones that the Lord himself used. And God's able to do that. And God's right when he does it. He wanted them to know. In our society, it's so easy for our society, and today especially, it is so horrible, because women have almost degraded themselves. God help us, the women of this society. Somehow they think by lowering their value, they're somehow... It's so backward when women don't realize how precious they are. And then they begin to display their bodies in such horrible ways. Folks, that's degrading to women, to womanhood. God would have women elevated, dressed in all the character of Christ. And men should also, I don't mean to get too far, but again, this fits in. He has showed us, oh man, what is good and what is right. God intended for men to appreciate the role of womanhood. They are so wonderfully humans. God put us together in this way. The man in his role and the woman in her role. And they fit together so well. Complement each other so well. When done right, a man will never enjoy the sweetness, all that the Lord provided for him, if he takes his authority like a domineering man. But oh, if he loves and cherishes his spouse and nourishes her, and they do it together. It's such a beautiful picture. And within that structure then, God gives children. And children are then raised with the knowledge of what love truly is. They begin to understand their Heavenly Father eventually because of what God has done. Lord, help us as a congregation, as people of this world, not to allow the things of this world to come and distort our understanding of righteous ways. God has showed us what is good. Let's do it. Lord, help us not to be moved from this basic knowledge of truth that we find in the Scripture. God didn't exclude women. He didn't throw them aside and say, you're second-class citizens. They're very valuable to him. When God made woman, he looked at the picture. God looked at what he'd made and he said, it's good and it's very good. It's very good. I say amen to him. What God did is very good. When the Lord gave me, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And I amen that, brother. Yes, amen. Thank the Lord, Brother Jerry. Anyway, Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, what the Lord did for them. The Lord brought them out of Egypt. The Lord gave them leadership. The Lord brought them to a place, gave them structure. Oh, my people, remember how... what Balak, the king of Moab, remember, king of Moab, he wanted this great multitude, he wanted them cursed. Do you remember that? And the Lord didn't let Balaam do it. Balaam intended to do it. He worked hard to do it. And the Lord has showed Balaam not to do it. The Lord has showed him, and you remember what happened? He's the only person I know of that heard a donkey talk to him. And still persisted in his carnal ways. That's amazing to me. Have you ever thought in your mind, if you'd have had a donkey talk to you, and then you talk back to him? Something's wrong with that picture. But I want to tell you today, there are people that still are very persistent in going against God's ways when God has already showed them what's right. And they're talking back to the donkey. They're blaming everybody else but themselves. Lord, help us not to be in that number. Look at ourselves in the mirror and say, to look at myself and say, God has showed thee, O man, what's good and what the Lord requires of thee. But to do, we'll get to that verse. Oh, my people, what have I done? I've given you all this. Oh, my people, remember how Balak, what he did, and how the Lord worked in that situation. Sixth verse now. Wherefore shall I come before the Lord? What should I do now? We should consider our ways when we look and realize that what all God has brought to us and all His blessings and His ways and how He's protected us and led us to this place. It should cause us to have an adoration for Him, an humble hunger of my heart to say, Lord, show me the way. I want to follow after You. Just let me know. I want to humble my heart before the mighty hand of God. Wherefore shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Is this the reason why God set up the law and the system and the sacrificial system? Was it because He was hungry for ram's flesh? Is that the reason why God did this? Did he want the oil, the olive oil? Was that what He wanted? Was He hungry like you and I are? Is this our God? Why? God set it up and He did that, but He did it that He wanted you and I as humans to recognize a price. There is something that happened when men were separated from God. There is a price that sin always exacts. And He wanted people to begin to realize there's value when this happens to you and you want to come back to the Lord. You should come tenderly and giving sacrifices, recognizing, I don't know how to gain Your favor, but this is what You've commanded. I want to obey You and I bring. But that wasn't God wasn't hungry for the sacrifice. You know what He's hungry for? When He said He's athirst on the cross, I think His physical body was thirsty. But you know what the greatest thirst that Christ had on the cross was? For the souls of mankind. He wanted our love. He was thirsty. There's a reason why Christ came to this earth. For redemption. It wasn't the physical pain that He went through, but that was part of it. But it was His paying of the price, Him standing in our place, His willingness to bridge the gap. He wanted you and I to be back in union with the Father. This is what He did for us. So, now how do we come before the Lord? We're going to come with these sacrifices. The writer here was looking at this and saying, what is it God really wants? Was it all this rivers of oil? Was it all this sacrificial things? Is that what God really wanted? Seventh verse, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? What am I going to do with the sin of my soul? How do I deal with this? How do I approach the Lord? Next verse says, He has showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. There's a whole lot in those three sections of it. This is what the Lord requires of us. He has showed us. You want to give me or do you want me to try to give you a definition of what is good? What is good? Folks, there's a light that lights your soul. Christ is the light that lighteth every man. And I don't need to define every good thing to you, because I believe you know in your very soul what is good. Do what's good. Now the Lord may build on that good and reveal greater things to you as you walk with Him. But do what's right. Do the good. Eschew evil. Cleave to that is good. Seek the Lord. Maybe today you don't know exactly the fullness of all the good that the Lord has before you. But walk in that light. Seek the good. Let the Lord begin to change us. The Lord's not done changing any of us. Sister Marcia, Brother Jerry's walked with the Lord for a number of years, but the Lord's not done. Sister Connie, we walked with the Lord for a number of years. There's older ones here. Walked with the Lord for a number of years. But the Lord's not done changing us. Me either. Walk in what is right and good. And as we walk in that truth and in that light and what He shows us that is good. When we don't walk in that, there's sin then. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him, you see, it is sin. But when the Lord shows us what is good, and I want to follow the Lord. And sometimes I have to say, Lord, I need some grace to do this. I don't know how to accomplish this very well, but I want to, Lord. My heart is given to you. And I believe the Lord has the ability, when we recognize what is good, and even I feel like it's difficult, decision is something difficult for me to do, we have the privilege of coming to Him and saying, Lord, give me strength. And my Heavenly Father is one that's willing to give strength to those who are weak, willing to uplift and encourage and keep shining His light on our pathway, because God wants to bring us to a place of spiritual wholeness and completeness and maturity. That we have something when we go out of this building and take our lives into the world, that they might see Christ in us instead of our own carnal decisions. Again, I'm reminded of what Moses did. And Moses was a man of God, was he not? Very clearly. The Lord spoke very... I think it would have been difficult for me to be Moses up on that mountain. God came and talked with him man to man. What an amazing place that Moses was in. The glory of the Lord was there, and it really impacted him, changed him. But then later on, as he got... in the trying to work with the people and bring them over to the place of the promised land. When Moses was trying to work with them, you remember the complaining people and all that was going on. And Moses came to the place that he was angry. First time the Lord said, take that rod and smite the rock and the Lord will give water. And he did. The second time the children of Israel was complaining, and the Lord said, this time I want you to speak to it. Just tell them. Just speak to the rock. And you know what he did? Instead of him doing that, he took that rock in his anger and said, and called them rebels, which they were. But it wasn't what God said. They saw Moses in his anger and his carnality is what they saw. And it said that Moses didn't sanctify the Lord in their eyes. The Lord didn't set forth God as omniscient, as all wise, as all powerful. He set forth Moses in their eyes. And he said, shall I fetch water from thee, or for thee out of this rock, ye rebels? And he smote that rock, and the Lord had mercy on the people and still gave them water. But Moses had to pay a price, because he didn't sanctify the Lord. See, the Lord had showed him what was right and what was good, and he didn't do it. And I want to just caution us as we walk with the Lord. The Lord's not done walking, not done working with any of us. He wants to still bring us to a place that He can shine His glory in a greater fashion in our lives than where we are today. There's things He still wants to change about you and about me. We're not done yet. Haven't arrived. Now, if Brother Paul wrote it in the Scripture and made that claim, he said, I have not don't count myself to have apprehended. Haven't gotten there. Haven't laid hold on that place yet. But I stretch forward, you see. Forgetting some things that are behind, I press toward the mark. Years ago, I heard Brother Herschel Hargrave preach a message at Monarch about stretching, living stretched out. And the theme of his message had to do with us giving our all, being willing to gain that goal that the Lord has before us. And the Lord sets something before it. He has showed us what is right. He sets something before our eyesight and says, this child is the land I want you to conquer. This is the area in your life that the Lord wants to bring us to. And He'll help us in doing so. He doesn't abandon us. He shows us the land and says, yes, there's giants there, but He said, I'll help you get it. Doesn't abandon us. Oh, but the Lord wants us to own the same passion that He has. He wants us to gain that land, and God help us to want that land just as passionately as what God wants us to get it. And as they, Brother Herschel Hargrave talked about his experience, he said, there are times as he's climbing this mountain for the Lord, gaining victories in his life. He said, sometimes there looks like a peg up there, and he stretches and just gets a hold of it, and he climbs up, and then another peg farther up again. He grabs a hold of that and keeps climbing. Folks, the Lord is still taking us to higher heights and deeper depths. We're not done yet. I don't care how many years you've lived for the Lord. There's still an exciting future ahead of you. The Lord's still changing us. He's not polished His image fully yet in our life. Perhaps He did that in people's lives like Sister Cheryl and those that have already went on. Maybe He polished them and they were ripe and ready to go. But we're still here as we're walking this life. He showed us, oh man, what is good. God help us to hunger and thirst after righteousness, because there is a blessing that goes along with it, hungering and thirsting. They'll be filled, and I want that filling. And what are we going to do? Will the Lord be pleased with all the sacrifices? He's not hungry for the oil or the ram's flesh. That's not what God really wants. He has showed thee, O man, what is good and what that the Lord require thee, but to do justly, to love mercy. Isn't this like our God? Isn't He just? He always treats us right, doesn't He? He doesn't excuse our sinful attitudes. He doesn't. Anything that's not right in my thinking, the Lord doesn't excuse it. He's not harsh with us, but He's right with us. He comes and begins to reveal to our mind and our understanding that, child, this is not right. And when we recognize it, the Lord has come by and talked with us, isn't there a response from us? You see, we love Him. And when He comes by and tells us, He is so thorough and so right in exposing the truth to our mind, we recognize it as truth, and then it becomes a conviction in my very soul. I know it's right because the Lord has revealed it to me. And then I walk in that light. There's some grace that the Lord gives us when He reveals it. This is how the Lord wants to deal with us individually. You see how close this truth is? It goes beyond. I can take, and this is a wonderful book, but I can take it and reduce it down to nothing more than legal rote. It's a lot bigger than that, folks. It applies 2,000 years ago. And it applies 1500s, or John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress? I forget the era now. But it applied, that man got a hold of something, folks. That Pilgrim's Progress is so right. Whenever you read it, you can see the Lord's hand working in that. That truth, this Bible, applied in his life, in his day. In the things that he faced in that day. He didn't face a cell phone and internet today. But he knew what holiness was. He knew what God meant in his life. And he saw what the Lord revealed to him. And he followed that. And it produced something great. John Wesley, Charles Wesley, those who got a hold of something, it produced something in their life. And it came on down, and it didn't stop. Clear on down to 1880 in their horse and buggy days. It applied right there. We find it in the songs that we sing today. It's wonderful things the Lord has brought down to us, but be careful. We don't reduce it to something that we legally apply from back there. Folks, God wants to be real to us in 2024. In our life, what we're facing. And if we are stuck somewhere back there 1,500 years ago, if we're stuck there, God's more up to date than that. And when I say the word up to date, that doesn't mean He excuses anything that's evil. But His holiness is applied rightly in this day, in this time that we live in. He's got answers for our soul. Oh, God, help us to hunger and thirst after that. Because in the hungering and thirsting, there's a great opening of that door. There's a great, even so come, Lord Jesus, look at my heart. God's not interested in just the law and all the sacrifices. Now, He did require that. There was a purpose for that back then. But many people, I believe they did the sacrifices and didn't learn what God meant by the sacrifices. There were some that did. There was an Anna and there was a Simeon. There were those type of people that got a hold of it. And it meant something in their soul. There's a lot of people who went to synagogue, went to temple, did their sacrifices and walked away and wiped their mouth, said, I didn't do anything wrong. And they just kept on going and fell right back into the same old sinful ways. Folks, today God has something better than us saying, forgive us of our many sins. He's got victory for us. He's bigger than our sin. He's bigger than our temptations. He has the ability, if we're willing and hungry after Him, He has ability to bring us past our temptations, out of the failures of our humanity, into a place of victory in Christ. His salvation is bigger than man's failings. Oh, dear ones, we need to perceive. He showed us, oh man, what is good and what is right. He's a just God. He's a righteous God. He's here with His grace and His power. He wants us to seek Him with all of our heart, so that He might glorify His name in our lives, that He might change people like you and I are in 2024, dealing with things. And I'll tell you that when I look at things we deal with today, I think, Lord, this is a terrible age. But then I hear ringing in my ears Him saying to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. Oh, you young folks that are raising children, sometimes we might think, well, don't know what this next generation is going to face. And I don't. But this one thing I do know, His grace is sufficient. He'll bring them through too. These little babies you're holding this morning, the Lord has grace for them. Don't fear. Do what's right. Seek the Lord. Ground them. I believe that Daniel, there's a lot of choices he could have made, a lot of routes he could have taken. And it may have been, he may have felt like it was advantageous for him to take those paths. He could have placated Nebuchadnezzar. He could have said, well, just, you know, give me that food. It's pretty good food anyway. There's a lot of things, a lot of routes that Nebuchadnezzar could have taken, or Daniel could have taken. But he didn't. He believed God, and he honored the Lord. And the Lord lifted him up. I don't think he ever once sought to be lifted up. I don't think the Lord would have lifted up Daniel if he would have sought for position and connived for position. I don't think he would have ever done it. But Daniel had an excellent spirit. He loved the Lord more than anything else. And the Lord can use people like that. This morning in 2024 and beyond, the Lord is looking for people that have their heart invested in Him, that love Him more than the world around us, for prestige or position. God help us to humble our hearts and allow the Lord to use us mightily in this nation. Yes, he still wants to use people mightily. He's not done calling people like Daniel. But the Lord help us when we face our hard places. What does the Lord require of thee? Is he looking for all your money? He's looking for all these great things you can bring him? No, sacrifices of the Lord are different than that. They're a contrite heart. An humble person puts themselves in the hands of God and lets God himself shape them. Will the Lord be pleased with all these other things? He showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God. This is what the Lord wants us to do now, to walk humbly with our God. Again, our time is gone and I don't want to hold us any longer. I want to remind us of some verses I read earlier, the one in James. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good. Do you have a responsibility when the Lord shows us what is good? We have a responsibility. Maybe I should say it differently than that. We have a privilege when the Lord shows us what is right. It's a privilege to say, Amen, Lord. It's a good thing. But when the Lord shows us what is right and what is good, and we decide to turn around and take another route, it's not good. It says sin. It's called sin. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Do you remember the man in the Bible? We don't know his name. We refer to him as this. We call him the rich young ruler. He was faced with a decision, wasn't he? He came and seemed to be very eager. He wanted to follow the Lord. Sounded that way, didn't he? What do I need to do? What I want to inherit this. This is what I want. He said, what do I need to do still? And the Lord told him to put the Lord first. Get rid of all the other things that you rest yourselves on. You, this is your security. And I'm putting this in my words. You know what the Bible says. He said, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. And come, follow me. But what he was attacking was things in the man's life that was his identity. He was a rich young ruler. That was his identity. That was his position. And that was excluding the real richness that God wanted in his life. It wasn't, not that the richness was bad. It's that was him. That was his identity. That was his security. Folks, when our security is in those things and not in Christ, we got a problem. God would call us away from our human ability. Maybe we think I'm smart. And if you are, thank God. But use your smartness in the way that God, that would glorify the Lord. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. He has showed thee, O man. Again, in Psalms the 51st chapter, 16th verse, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. You delight not in burnt offerings, though the Lord commanded the burnt offerings and the sacrifices the Lord did. But that wasn't the purpose of it. The purpose of it was to humble, help men to humble their heart, to recognize their need of Him. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, one that recognizes where they are, one that recognizes their need. Oh, dear ones, wherever we are today, sometimes we find ourselves in a place separated from God, where sinner man in need of his salvation. I want to tell you, it's good for us to recognize our need and say, Lord, I want to come back home. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Then other places, sometimes in our who we are in life, sometimes we find the Lord comes by and shows us who we are and our need. And then we're faced with a decision like the rich young ruler. The Lord would have us to say, yes, Lord, that is me. Just like David, remember? When Nathan said, this is where you are, you're the man. David could have said, off with his head, or else he could have said, I am the man. And I think David, he acknowledged his sin. The Lord would have us to acknowledge, maybe it's not sin in our life, but it's a place that the Lord would deal with us, because our Heavenly Father wants to guide us around pitfalls in our future. Folks, radical honesty is such a wonderful thing to just embrace. It's so good. It is so right. These are the things. See, he has showed us, oh man, we all know. I don't want to get too far afield here very quickly, but we need to end. But I was in a jail service once, numerous times, but I was amazed to know those fellas. You know, you think people are in jail, these are bad people. A lot of times there are people, there are bad people that got caught. There's a whole lot of bad people out there that didn't get caught. These are people that got caught. And yes, they have things that were, but folks are human and they understand. And I was in there and I was preaching the gospel to them, and there was somebody asked a question one time in a Bible study. A question that I thought, oh, how am I going to answer this? Because if I answer it the right way, I wonder how they're going to receive it. In my mind, I was thinking, Lord, help me to say this in the right way. And as I had my head bowed and praying, I said, Lord, help me to know, there was another one of the inmates spoke up and spoke the truth, stronger than I could have ever spoken it. I think the Lord would have had me speak it in loving kindness, as strong as that man said it. But it let me know that he knew what was right. They know. I can give you another proof. There are many people that don't want to do what's right, but they can come to church and point out all the hypocrites. You know how? Because they know what's right. Lord, help us to do what's right. To embrace, because he has showed the old man what is good and what is right, what is just. To do. Be merciful. That's another characteristic. To be merciful. So, may the Lord help us all this morning. The Lord wants to lead us. The Lord doesn't, he hasn't abandoned us. Today, he's still talking with people. Don't put that off and that was just the prophets heard the voice of the Lord. No, today, people hear the voice of the Lord. You get quiet with him. You get over alone in your closet of prayer. You get on your knees and open your heart honestly before the Lord. Oh, the Lord will talk with you. If you really have an honest question about where truth is, ask the Lord. He can prove it to us. God help us all to make heaven our home.